number of things. I mean, the thing that jumped out to me as soon as I looked at it was that Treasury admitting that the gas royalty figures projections had been completely overcooked. So it was projected that the Queensland budget would be that Queensland would be receiving about $850 million a year from royalties, and it now looks as though it'll be, you know, a few hundred million dollars a year for several years until it eventually gets to about $450 million a year at the most, which is half what was projected. And at the same time, coal royalties, which Queensland's unfortunately become quite dependent on, dropped by 27% last year. And when a major source of your, the state's income drops by almost a third in a year, that's a cause for real concern.
Okay, so we've been putting our eggs in the one basket, it seems, and it hasn't worked out. What impact does this dependence on mining actually have on non-mining businesses?
Well, there's huge impacts because essentially in an economy, because an economy is an interlinked system, and so if you do something really big in an economy, it impacts on other parts of the economy. So essentially what happens when you have excessive mining, which we've got at the moment, the more mining you have, the less you have of everything else, because mining crowds out businesses and jobs in other parts of the economy. And that's particularly the case for tourism, manufacturing, education and agriculture, which are our other key export industries.
So does that mean that jobs in other areas are lost as a result?
Yeah, absolutely. So manufacturing and agriculture and tourism are all far more labour intensive than mining. Mining's highly mechanised, so it employs very few people relative to these other industries. So it certainly employs a lot of people, and those jobs are very important. But compared to say manufacturing or tourism, it's actually quite a small employer. And so when you have a lot of mining, it drives up the Australian dollar, and it also creates a severe skills shortage, and that impacts on manufacturing businesses and farmers and tourist operators, and a lot of those businesses close down or they scale back their operations, and jobs are lost.
Yeah. Okay, so that's more or less the now. What does this all mean for the future when the mining boom eventually winds down?
Well, if you come to rely too much on mining, because businesses in all of those other industries, those really important long term industries, have been lost because of the expansion of mining. So you can imagine if a manufacturer closes down, if a factory closes down, mm-hmm. then it takes a long time before somebody else opens up another factory. They just don't do it overnight. And the same with tourist operators. They, if an operator on the Great Barrier Reef buys a boat, and then they have to close down because foreign tourists aren't coming to Australia because of the high dollar, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for those to ramp up again. So if you've allowed a very volatile industry like coal or gas to displace those long-term solid industries that we've got, when the boom busts and these industries lay off a whole lot of people, there's no jobs left for them to go back to, or a lot less jobs left for them to go back to. So, you run into real problems.
Now, the state government has talked, though, about focusing more on other sectors, tourism, agriculture and so forth. But do you see any real move away from the honeypot of coal and gas?
No, look, I think it's one thing to pay lip service to a diversified economy. You hear talk of the four-pillar economy and a diversified economy. But at the same time, they're doing everything they can to expand the resources sector. And it's a bit like trying to lose weight by eating pizza. You can't, the more mining you have, the less you're going to have of everything else. So you either want to have more mining and a more kind of an economy that's going to rely on mining, or you want to have a more diversified economy. And I think we need to really, it's a bit of a fork in the road for Queensland. We've got a really think about the kind of economy we want in the future. Another really important thing, David, too, is just the failure of Australia to actually get, and Queensland and Australia generally, to actually get a lasting benefit from the mining boom. So, you know, the mining boom is a one-trick pony. It only happens once. Once you've dug up those resources and shipped them overseas, you don't get another shot at it. And sure, there'll be coal left in the ground, but it'll be uneconomic coal, and because it's much harder to get, because they get all the more economic stuff first. So once it's gone, it's gone. Now, in most countries in the world, they make sure that they have that national companies have a degree of ownership of the resources boom, and they generally tax them far more than in Australia. So in Australia, the mining industry is overwhelmingly foreign-owned. It's about 83% foreign-owned overall, and that means that 83% of the profits go after tax, go overseas. In terms of taxation, we're a very low... We tax our extractive industries far lower than a lot of other countries around the world. So, and we don't have anything like a sovereign wealth fund. So we're allowing all of this to happen, this once ever opportunity, and we're not gaining a lasting benefit for Australia.
Sounds like we've really got ourselves in a pickle for the future. How do we get ourselves out of it?
Oh, well, there's a number of ways. Norway, for instance, in terms of gas, Norway actually taxes their gas industry at a rate of about 90%, because it's just so profitable. And none of the North Shore oil and gas operators flee. In fact, a lot of them are the same companies that are operating in Australia. In Australia, we're currently taxing our gas industry at an effective tax rate of about 12%, something around that level. So, you know, there's a huge amount of room for us to increase the amount of the amount of benefit that we keep for Australians and put away for the future. Mm-hmm. Norway also has a huge sovereign wealth fund. And that's a really good idea, because what it does is that it means that they have this big fund, and in the future, when the resources run out, that fund is still earning interest and still earning an income for the people of Norway. Whereas in our case, when those resources are gone in 10 or 20 years, you know, that's it. All we've got is a lot of disused gas wells and big holes in the ground. So I think, you know, there's a huge opportunity for us to say, okay, well, we haven't captured much benefit for the lasting benefit for the country at the moment, and it's time that we looked at ways like a sovereign wealth fund or increasing the amount of tax or reducing the subsidies that we pay to the mining industries and capture more of a lasting benefit for Queensland and Australia.
Interesting. Maybe we can learn from the Norwegians if governments can actually wean themselves off of mining dependence. Fascinating. Mark Oge, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thanks, David.